The Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM Stereo.
The 10 a.m. Express, right here on 91.3 FM, the Voice of the Cape radio station. I'm your host, Yasmina Peterson. Well, I also mentioned something in the beginning, August, and it's not AUGUST, it's ORGUST, meaning that August is Organ Donation Month. We are going to be finding out a little bit more what that is all about and speaking to Dr. Shoaib Wadi as well as Fawn Rogers and how we can get involved in this. To know that you guys are most welcome to interact with me on the topics that we share this morning on the 10 AM Express program via the SMS as well as the WhatsApp line. You are most welcome to always interact with me on that platforms. Thereafter, I did mention that there is going to be a kiddie story. We've got quite a jam-packed program this morning. For all of you that are at home and that are tuned in, that is what you can expect in the program this morning. And speaking about the Organ Donation Month, which is the month of August, we do have Dr. Shoaib Wadi on the line as well as Fawn Rogers. Assalamu alaikum and good morning.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good morning, Fawn. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well and you? Thank you for having us today.
I'm good. Thank you so much for being part of the program. Now, Doctor, I think I want to start off with you first with regards to August being Organ Donation Month. Speak to us more about what the difference is between tissue and organ donation, as well as, Doctor, I know that you are a nephrologist and some of us are not so fay with those medical terms. Speak to us what that is all about.
Okay, so I'm a kidney specialist. That's what the nephrologist is. And
okay, kidney specialist. There we go.
Diseases of the kidneys, including kidney failure, you know?
Yes.
And obviously, in people who have kidney failure, they may benefit from a kidney transplant.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where our involvement with transplantation comes in. Now, obviously, you can have donations or transplantation or of just particular tissues. And the common one which most people will be aware of is blood.
Mm.
So obviously blood transfusion would be the use of another individual's blood into a person to try and correct the abnormality related to the loss of blood or the absence of sufficient blood. So it can be life-saving in certain instances. So, for example, if people have a motor vehicle accident or in women after childbirth or if they have severe bleeding of any cause, sometimes they need an urgent transfusion of blood to be able to save their lives and prevent them from dying from bleeding, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one which people are most aware of. But obviously there are other areas where some tissues or parts of a tissue are donated and are transplanted or transfused. That can include a bone marrow transplant or transplant of the stem cells or a cornea transplant, which is just a part of the eye, or a bone transplant with bone tissue or bone graft tissue is used to allow people to heal their bones in certain circumstances. So those are the transplant of just particular tissues and parts of organs. And then obviously you get a transplantation of entire organs, which can include the heart, the liver, the lungs, the kidneys, the pancreas, the small intestine, and even now transplantation of hands and so forth and so on, which has been done.
Excellent. Now, Doctor, you were speaking about blood transfusion where someone needs blood and urgently needs blood and so on. And when we speak about organ donation, if someone maybe has a kidney or want to donate a kidney or so on, does it also boil down to the type of blood that you have in your body that matches, should match that person that will be receiving the kidney or any organ transplant?
Yes, I mean, so what happens is that every cell in your body has got the markers on it which your immune system is able to recognize and say, okay, this is one of our own cell. So if you then take that organ or tissue and transfer it into another person, it won't have those markers, you know?
Yes.
And that other person's immune system can react to it and then damage and destroy those cells. Now, blood cells are actually fairly simple. They don't have some markers called HLA and so forth on them because they're not nucleated cells, and they have what we call ABO markers on them. So all we need to do for blood is they need to be ABO compatible. So the type of blood must be compatible. You have, if you're type A, you must donate to type A. If you're type B, you can receive type B.
Yes.
If you're type O, you can only receive type O. But O can donate to anybody. So a type O person can donate to A or B or AB.
Oh,
and if you type AB, you can receive blood from anybody virtually. Mm-hmm. But they would also do a cross match to make sure that you don't have any other antibodies which may react and cause destruction of those red blood cells as soon as you transfuse the person. When it comes to transplant of an organ, it's a bit more complicated, and obviously it varies slightly between the different organs, but you need to have compatibility of some of the other markers, and you have to have a cross match which is negative. And also because that organ stays in you for such a long time, or needs to stay for many years, you often will then need medicine to prevent you from rejecting that organ. So you may need medicines which suppress your immune system.
Very interesting. Shukran for sharing this information with us and educating us with regards to organ donation and so on. Now, Doctor, tell us, who can donate and how do we encourage people to donate?
So there's two types of donors that that we get around the world. The one type of donor is what we call a living donor. That means somebody who is well and healthy and they're in good shape and they don't have any chronic conditions themselves, like they don't have kidney or liver or heart or lung disease, or they don't have any chronic infections, they don't have cancer, they have a good, healthy lifestyle. And that person can then be assessed and see if it's possible for them to donate part of their organs while they're alive. So the living donors that we're able to do is, obviously people can donate blood at any time, and the blood will regenerate completely and go be as if they had never donated anything. They can donate a kidney because you've got two kidneys, and if your one kidney is working, if your kidneys are working very well, you can donate one of those kidneys and you can live a normal life with the other kidney. I mean, there is a slightly increased risk of yourself developing kidney failure in your own lifetime, but the risk is still really small, probably less than 1% for that to happen in a kidney donor. And obviously care is taken for that not to happen. You can also donate part of your liver, which can then be used for another person who has liver failure. And then you can donate bone marrow. Some people donate part of the skin. And so those are the type of things you can donate to another person while you are alive. Obviously, you can't donate your heart, can't donate your lungs, can't donate your intestines and so forth while you're alive. And to get the donors from that part, from that those organs, we rely on people who are willing to donate their organs after they've passed away. So if you pass away, usually with something which affects your brain, which means that your brain stops working completely and you're declared brain dead, then you can donate, because then your heart is still working, your kidneys are still usually working, your liver may still be working. Those people may be able to donate those organs after they are declared brain dead, to people who need those organs, including people on dialysis, people with severe liver failure and heart failure, and people with severe lung disease, including the cystic fibrosis, severe cancer, which has destroyed parts of the liver and lungs and so forth and so on.
Excellent. Now, Doctor, you were speaking about certain organs that can only be donated after, if that person gives their consent, after that person has passed on. Now, how long after that person has died will the organs or tissue have to be removed?
So the tissue and organs are removed practically immediately after the person has died. There's actually two ways of doing it. The one is that they don't wait for the heart to stop. So the person is declared brain dead. That means a panel of doctors looks at the function of the brain and what we call the brain stem, which is the bottom part of the brain. And if that part is destroyed, it's actually, you cannot it's not compatible with life. And if you remove them off the ventilator or you stop the medication, the heart will stop within a few seconds. So normally they do a series of tests to determine brain death, and these tests are very robust. Nobody who's been declared brain dead by these tests has ever woken up. So it's different from somebody who's got like a persistent vegetative state or has got a coma or other causes. This is not just a coma. It's somebody who goes through a series of tests which says that their brain stem is completely dead. And I mean, this definition of brain death has been accepted by the medical fraternity for a few decades, and also the majority of Islamic scholars from various schools have accepted that the definition of brain death as defined and as defined as irreversible using these criteria is not compatible with life, and basically the person has passed away. So that's the one way. The other way is if people are really attached to making sure the heart is stopped, is then to remove all the machines and the ventilation and all that, and to wait for the heart to stop, which will take a minute or two. And then once the heart stops, then to remove the organs. Obviously, the risk then is that the organs have a period where they don't get any blood supply, and that they get slightly damaged, so that when they use it for the recipients, there's a higher risk that they're not functioning as well as what we would call a heart-beating donor. So those are called non-heart-beating donors. And obviously, there's pros and cons to both from a religious and ethical perspective in terms of people's beliefs and what they're able to tolerate.
Excellent. We're speaking to Dr. Shoaib Wadi. He is a kidney specialist. A little bit later, we will be turning some focus to Fawn Rogers, and I'm going to speak to her a little bit later and tell you all about her experience a little bit later. Now, Doctor, we want to encourage people to donate. Now, tell us how many lives can be saved by one person who donates?
Well, I mean, if a person donates while they're alive, obviously they're donating their one part of one organ, they will save one life. But if a person is willing to be an organ donor after they declared brain dead, or if they are a non-heart-beating donor, they obviously, if a non-heart-beating donor, the heart will not be used. Mm-hmm. But the lungs, the liver, the kidneys, the bone marrow can be used. The corneas can be used, so you could potentially save the lives of, you know, 7 or 8 people, and you could improve the lives of several people using the corneas, bone marrow, and other things, you know, where maybe it won't be saving their lives, but it can give them the gift of sight. It can take them off treatment for leukemia. So there's many other options in terms of how those different organs can be utilized. And then the process is not done where, you know, somebody goes in as a butcher and just removes everything. It's done in a way which tries as best as possible to preserve the dignity of the person who passed away, with the understanding that this person is a person who has performed a great act of self-sacrifice to help other people, to allow other people to live their lives in a way which is much better, and you know, which will allow them to function and get back to their families.
Doctor, I'm very curious as to know, is there any stigma attached when it comes to donating?
So, I mean, obviously, you know, in different communities, the willingness and the ability to donate is less. In the South African Muslim community, for example, there isn't a strong culture of deceased donation. There's a fear that it's not permissible, and there's differences in opinion. So much of the opinion, for example, the India and Pakistani establishment, there's been against organ donation of any type for a long time. But that has changed recently with some fatwa coming out that they would allow it, provided the dignity of the person is maintained, provided it's done in where the need is clear, and provided it's done with complete consent. There's nobody being paid, you know, to do it. They're not getting, they're not being manipulated. They're not being pressured to do it. So those are the conditions which have been set. But still, obviously, people are hesitant. You know, they want to be buried with all the organs, so that they I don't know why they have a belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can't recreate them with all the organs, which we know is what will happen on the day of judgment, you know. I think those are the type of thoughts and ideas which we need to be talking about as Muslims on our dinner tables. We need to be asking each other, because that's what you really need to do. Mm-hmm. When you are brain dead lying in an ICU, you're not going to be the one making the decision. So while you're still alive, you should tell your family, your husband, your wife, your children, that if I'm in this situation, this is what I would like. And then if you want to get an Islamic opinion, you want to relook at the fatwa, you want to ask your ulama, your trusted ulama, whoever you rely on, now would be the time to do that. And say, I would like to donate. Is it permissible? Do you think it's a good idea? What are the Islamic rulings? And then you follow that from now, rather than at the time when you are brain dead or you are in an ICU, your family is already under immense stress, mm-hmm. you know? And obviously, this is not going to happen to everybody. If we have 100 people who sign up as donors, maybe one person will eventually end up in a situation where they would possibly be able to donate. Mm. So you can understand that if you have enough donors, you would need millions and millions of people to opt into the system that we would agree to donate. If we reach that particular situation where it would be possible for us to donate. If you die with a heart attack at home, or you die of cancer, or you die of heart failure, you won't be able to donate. It's not going to be something that's even possible. But in that narrow group of people who may be able to donate, it's worthwhile having these discussions with your family now.
The voice of Dr. Shaib Wadi. Doctor, we go for ads, and when we come back, we'll continue. And Fawn, are you still with us?
I am.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being part of the program. We go for a quick ad break and then we'll turn some focus to you. Stay with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 91.3 FM, the 10M Express. I'm your host, Yasmina Peterson. Just before the ad break, you heard me in conversation with Dr. Shaib Wadi, the kidney specialist, speaking to us about organ donation as well as tissue donation. Before I turn some focus to Fawn, Doctor, just a quick one. How can one become a donor, or how do you register to become a donor?
So, I mean, one can go on to the organ donor website, the website of the Organ Donor Foundation, and register as a donor. One can contact one of the numbers which are available on the Organ Donor Foundation. Or you can contact TEL or one of the other organizations which is involved in the organ donation space, and they will be able to guide you. But much more importantly, because there's no electronic register or there's no accessible way for people to know who is an organ donor, you should have a card or some type of identification on your license or some other document which says that these are your wishes. And very much more importantly, as I mentioned, you should speak to your family so that they're aware of what your wishes are.
Doctor,
because it's often a decision which needs to be made when your family is under severe stress, when something bad has happened to you or you are not well. And if you've discussed it beforehand, it's something that they would be aware of. It's very difficult to spring it on a family and ask them, is it something you would have thought about if you've never discussed it before. Mm.
Dr. Gio, perhaps have any statistics with regards to how many people in South Africa give off the organs or tissue donation?
Sorry, how many people?
How many people donate, rather, organs
or
tissue?
So, I mean, it varies. There isn't a unified document presented this year yet. Yeah. But in general, we have several hundred people who donate around the country. But still, there's a significant shortage because of the waiting list for different organs. For example, for kidney transplants, the waiting time may be 5, 6, 7 years, depending on your blood group, to wait for an organ to become available for you. And some patients wait up to 10 years to wait for an organ, depending on their blood group or their antibody levels. For liver transplants, the waiting time is not that long because you can't survive without the liver. So usually it's done according to urgency, but there are hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people every year who die because they unable to get a liver in the end. For heart transplant, similarly, if you don't get a heart transplant in time, you will die. So the number is extremely small compared to what the need is. I think it may be just between 1 and 200 donors for the year, whereas they probably need a few thousand donors to reduce the waiting time to something which is which will reduce the amount of people that are dying.
Dr. Shukran, so much for sharing that information with us. That website, once again, is the Organ Donor Foundation that people can go onto so that they can get some more information with regards to donation and organ donation?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Doctor, stay with us. I'm turning some focus to Fawn Rogers. She is the Marketing Director of Transplant Education for Living Legacies. Fawn, thank you so much for being on the line. I want to jump right into what your background is as well as what it is that you do. So speak to our listeners more about who Fawn Rogers is.
Thank you. Yes. So I needed a double lung transplant, which I was very lucky to receive about 7.5 years ago. So that's two new lungs that I got. Before that, I was born with a disease called cystic fibrosis, which meant that I grew up very ill. I could never partake in school sports. I missed out on a lot of sort of social and school activities. And gradually, I just became more and more sick. My treatment regime was every 3 months, I would be admitted into hospital for 2 weeks of IV treatment. So you can imagine growing up as, you know, a 10, 12-year-old, it's a lot of hospital time. I mean, I've spent years and years in hospital. And those treatments kept me going up until a point where they just weren't working anymore. My lungs had deteriorated so much that I needed to be on oxygen 24/7. I was pretty much bedridden. I couldn't really walk or do much. I needed round-the-clock care. I had a tube that would feed me at night because I couldn't get enough calories to support the need of my body. I was on an insulin pump to give me insulin. I had a portacast, which is a permanent sort of IV in my chest to give me my treatments. And basically, I was just dying. And the only way that I could have carried on was for someone to donate, for a deceased donor to donate their lungs to me. So as Dr. Wadi said earlier, the family would have had to make that decision because my donor would have not been, they would have been brain dead. So the family would have been asked, and I was lucky enough that they said yes, that the lungs were a match for me in terms of size, blood type and all of that, and I had my transplant. It was quite a long surgery, and the recovery was very difficult, but since then, in the 7.5 years that I've had it, I've been able to do so much that I wasn't able to before. I mean, you know, you can't exactly swim when you're on an oxygen tube. So things like that, just, you know, being able to go to a social event, obviously not at the moment with COVID, but go to a social event and just sit and talk to my friends without feeling short of breath and coughing my lungs out and all of that. So it was completely life-changing, and I'm very grateful for my donor family and my donor. And that led me to co-found the organization TEL, Transplant Education for Living Legacies. And our mission, as the name suggests, is to encourage people to tell their families that they wish to donate their organs because, you know, at time of death, the transplant coordinator will approach the family and say, you know, can we use your daughter, your husband, your whatever's organs? And you are in such a state of just panic and grief, and you can't expect the family to make a decision like that in that moment. So it's much easier if they knew that their husband or whatever wanted to be a donor. And then it's a very easy decision. It's yes, he wanted to save lives. So yes, take the organs. So we really encourage people just to talk to their families and tell everyone that that's what you want to do when you're no longer here.
Excellent. Now, Fawn, how did organ donation change your view of life?
So like I said, the surgery from a physical point of view was very, very difficult. But from a mental point of view, it's just as challenging because you've gone from, in my case, I mean, not everyone has a a chronic condition. You know, some people are can be healthy and then all of a sudden something happens and they require an organ. But for me, I spent my entire life sick up until the point that I had new lungs. So it completely changed my view of life. You know, life is short and time is not promised to anyone. We can wake up, well, we can wake up tomorrow and, you know, be hit by a bus. Mm-hmm. So for me, it really highlighted the importance of just making the most of every day. And, you know, when you're no longer here, how do you want to be remembered? And for me, I don't think I'll be able to give my lungs to someone when I pass away because they'll be sort of third hand. But I'd like to know that I've made some sort of difference. Mm-hmm. So that's, that's how it's changed my views.
Lovely stuff. Speak to us more about the services that you offer at the Transplant Education for Living Legacies, which is TEL, as well as where are you guys based or situated?
So TEL has a few campaigns that we focus on. Our main focus is in the medical sector. So what happens is when someone passes away or becomes brain stem dead in a hospital environment, the nurses and the medical staff are then they then need to inform the transplant coordinator of the situation. And we found that a lot of these medical practitioners aren't aware of who to call in that situation. So what TEL does is we actually go into the hospital environment and educate the nurses and the medical professionals about how to deal with these potential donors. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, at the moment, again, with the COVID situation, we haven't been able to go into hospitals for obvious reasons. So we've put our medical education side on hold. But we do have a lot of public campaigns that we run. One of them is the Make It Known campaign, where we have various tattoo studios that have come on board, and they tattoo the symbol. It's our logo, but it's a quotation mark. And the quotation mark generally goes on your wrist, but you can have it anywhere you want. And that symbolizes the fact that you've started the conversation. It's the quotation mark at the beginning of a conversation that you've made it known to your family or your loved ones that you would wish to be an organ donor. So that is one of our more prevalent campaigns, and we currently have studios in Joburg where we are based, as well as Cape Town, that are offering the tattoo this month, and most months we do get studios on board to assist with that.
Excellent. And also, if people want to know more about TEL, where can they, is there maybe social media platforms, or do you have a website?
Yes. So we are tel.org.za is our website, and we are on Facebel, Instagram and Twitter, tel.org.za across all platforms. So we are on all of those. There are lots of information there with regards to the studios that are available and other sort of interesting facts around organ and tissue donation.
Excellent. Now, Fawn, some of the advices that you can maybe give for someone that does not feel they want to donate, but they actually do not feel comfortable to do so they in between either or, I must, but I also don't know what's going to happen.
So I think one of the things I'd like to say is, if you needed an organ or one of your loved ones needed an organ, would you accept that organ? So if your daughter became ill and the doctor said she will not live to see the end of the month unless she gets a transplant, do you wish for her to have a transplant? If the answer is yes, let's save her life, then, you know, if you're willing to receive, then you should be willing to give. And I think it's a matter of just thinking about that. And, you know, if there are obvious religious or cultural barriers, then, you know, then that's a different story. But I think a lot of people use it as not an excuse, but you kind of use it as a way to delay the decision. So it's kind of, oh, I'm not too sure if I can. I'll talk to someone about it at some stage. And, you know, like I said, life is not certain. We don't know what's happening, going to happen around the corner. So have those conversations now and find out now if you can be a donor, and then tell your family.
And those people that is on the waiting list, Fawn, any advice for them, words of encouragement for them?
So I think people on the waiting list, it's a very scary situation because you know, when I was told, I think I was probably about 13 or 14, that I needed lungs, I was horrified. I was like, what? You're going to cut me in half, take my the biggest organs in my body out and put new organs in? I mean, it's a pretty horrific Frankenstein sort of thought. So you are terrified to receive a transplant. But you know that if you don't get a transplant, you're also terrified that you'll die. So it's sort of this, it's such a difficult position to be in, because you're hoping to get a transplant and survive, but you're also dreading the day that that call comes. So my advice is just to not overthink it. The surgery, you know, it always sounds worse than it is. It is a big surgery, but it's not as horrific as your mind plays it out to be. And the outcome, the life that you get afterwards is so much better than something you can imagine. You can't imagine what it feels like to breathe normally if you've never been able to breathe normally. So the advantages way outweigh the disadvantages.
Excellent. Now, Fawn, is there any contact number if people maybe want to know more about organ donation for TAL?
I think just on our social media and website, there's a lot of information, and we always be very responsive. So if someone just wants to pop us a message on Facebook, we'll get back to them, you know, very quickly. So those would be the best channels to communicate with us.
Excellent. And last but not least, Fawn, what would you like people to remember about today's interview that's listening in right now?
I think I would like people to remember that organ donation for most people is not something that comes up every day. It's not something that you think about unless you or one of your loved ones are directly affected. And by then, it's often too late. So I think if anyone's listening and hasn't thought about organ donation or has thought about it but put it off, do it today. Don't wait until tomorrow. Speak to your family and speak to them what their wishes are. Don't wait.
Excellent. The voice there of Fawn Rogers, the Marketing Director of Transplant Education for Living Legacies, which is a TAL. Dr. Wadi, any last words from your side?
No, that's fine. I just wanted to thank Fawn and give us the opportunity to talk about this, which is always an important conversation which we should be having.
Excellent. Shukran so much to Dr. Shuaib Wadi as well as Fawn Rogers. Thank you so much for being part of the program. And I wish you everything of the best. That website is Organ Donor Foundation, as well as if you want to get in touch with Fawn, you can go onto the website, which is tal.org.za. That is tell.org.za. Fawn, thank you so much. And Dr. Shuaib, shukran so much. Assalamu alaikum and goodbye for now.
Thank you. Goodbye.